You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. So there you go. All's well that ends well at Lucas Oil Stadium today as the Colts beat the Jaguars 23-17. A late fumble forced by DeForest Buckner, scooped up by Dayo Odenigbo. Kwity Paye, a sack, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about not just what happened at the end, but throughout the game. Look, the Colts had a 17-0 lead in this game. They recovered a blocked punt, scored it, got another touchdown, got a field goal, looked like they were going to run away, and all of a sudden, you had life for the Jaguars because Matt Eberflus, and I'm wearing my Matt Eberflus hoodie, Matt Eberflus, on 3rd and 10, late in the first quarter, goes shell. What happens? The Jaguars, they throw it over the middle, gain 12, right, which anybody does, although the Jaguars didn't do that very well late in the game. But they throw a little hook, bam, first down. Next play, they take it to the house. That drives me crazy. What else drove fans crazy was Frank Reich late in the game. Under 8 left in the game. They're up 3. What do? You throw a little, you dump a little short one to Jonathan Taylor. You run Taylor. And then you hit Zach Pascal behind the line of scrimmage, thinking, what is he going to do for 10? He's going to go run for 10 yards? Not the way the Jaguars' defense was playing, but it's a win. We don't argue with winning. All right, we don't argue with a win. This did not go to overtime. The Colts did not wind up losing this game, so let's talk about the good. Jonathan Taylor remains undefeated when he runs for 80 or more yards, not just 100 like Andrew Catalan and James Lofton told us during the game. When he eclipses 80, the Colts, they win. Had a gash play turned back because of a holding call that was nonsensical on Reed. That's life in the NFL. I didn't think the officials were great today. I didn't think they were as bad as they were that Thursday night game against the Jets, though. Michael Pittman Jr., how big a stud is this cat on 3rd down? This, the CBS crew told us, and I didn't know. The NFL's leading receiver, at least I trust them that they knew, the NFL's leading receiver on 3rd down. That's a good thing. Good for the Indianapolis Colts. Good for Michael Pittman Jr. That Zaire Franklin punt block and the EJ Speed scoop and score. Huge for the Indianapolis Colts. Kwity Paye, his first NFL sack. I thought he played really well. We kept having guys leave the game today and then return. Kwity Paye left, came back. Darius Leonard left, came back. Quentin Nelson left, came back. It happened again and again and again. But at least they came back. That's a good thing. Rock Ya-Sin, not great coverage all game, but the Jaguars receivers didn't make him pay. Now, Rock Ya-Sin celebrated some of his bad coverage because of the results that followed. But I'm okay with that. You know what? If you're Rock Ya-Sin, you take him when you can get him. Some of the bad, again, most of the game, you know what? Eberflus was okay. I thought that that blitz late, 3rd and 9, 7:39 left. Eberflus turned him loose. The Colts, they got pressure, and it worked out. And that's what you've got to do against a rookie quarterback. You got to show him a bunch of different stuff. You got to bring blitzes from all over the place. You got to shake him up. And that's what the Colts did a little bit today against Lawrence. And good that they did, because otherwise they'd have got beat today. And what did I tell you all week long? I told you that what the Colts needed to do was get to 24. They got to 23, right? The Jaguars have not scored more than 23 points now in 18 consecutive games. So go ahead, get those points. The Reich did the right thing, didn't turn away points in order to go for it. Had a 4th and 3, I think, and they kicked the field goal. That was a good decision. Well, the offense was a complete mess when they decided, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take Jonathan Taylor away. And you say, Carson Wentz, can you beat us throwing the ball deep? And he couldn't. And so that's the way it went. You got a $25 million quarterback, and this is part of the problem. And one of the reasons that Colts fans jeered, not cheered, but jeered, booed in the fourth quarter. You got that guy back there. That guy is supposed to have what's necessary up here and in his right arm to be able to go get a first down, 3rd and 10, without just dumping it short to Zach Pascal and hoping he can run for it. You got to be able to put it on the money. And Carson Wentz, for the love of God, thank goodness, none of those crazy shovel passes or left-handed passes went to the Jaguars. If the Colts hadn't been clean today from a turnover perspective, this game likely goes to the Jaguars. It didn't. So the Colts are back in the playoff hunt. They're 5-5, but don't get all happy yet. We've talked about this for weeks, right? That 3-5 with games against the Jets and a game against the Jaguars, you were in all likelihood going to be 5-5. And if you weren't 5-5, if you can't beat the Jets and you can't beat the Jaguars in consecutive weeks, 10 days between games, you know what? You don't belong in the playoff hunt anyway, right? So let's not even talk about playoffs if you can't win those two games. But what the Colts do, they won those two games. Now what they've done is they've earned an opportunity to go to Buffalo and play a meaningful game. And you hope that they're able to do it. You hope that they're able to go up there and win this game, because of the three tough games they've got left, really tough. Every game, I know this, every game in the NFL is tough. All right. However, you've got Buffalo. Then you come right back here to play against Tampa Bay. And then later on Christmas Day, you've got a game against the Arizona Cardinals. Those three are really tough. Those are against top five teams in the NFL. Of those three, you got to win one. And let's hope it's against the Buffalo Bills next week in Buffalo, because if you win that game, that's a conference game and would be a conference win. And it is really likely at this point that if the Colts can get to 10-7, a lot of farming needs to be done before that hay's in the barn, by the way. It's going to come down to the conference record tiebreaker in all likelihood to see who's going to be a wild card and who's not going to be a wild card. That's where the kind of the rubber meets the road. And so you've got to win the conference game. So if you can beat Buffalo, if you can beat Vegas, if you can beat New England, the Jaguars again, right? Houston again. If you can do that, you got a chance. As long as the Buffalo game is, because that makes you 9-3 against your conference opponents. And in all likelihood, if a bunch of teams are tied at 10-7, you got a really good chance of being the surviving member of that group, or one of the surviving members of that group. You got to win everything. You lose two more from 5-5. You can go 10-7 and get to the playoffs, but that means that you've got to beat either the Bills, the Cardinals, or the Bucs. That's the way it goes. What a day. What a beautiful game. It's funny how your mood changes as the game moves on. I swear to God, 8 minutes left, I was like, I got to go get a milkshake. I got to go outside. It's cold out. I'm going to stand in the cold. And I'm going to lament all of what could have been because the Colts gave this thing away. And then all of a sudden, you think, hey, we got the ball back. We're running the clock. It's going good. And then you got to give the you kick the field goal, which means that the Jaguars, they've got to be aggressive, and they're going to try to score seven. Got to score seven, right? And so, but then they do. They're moving the ball pretty good, and they're managing their timeouts reasonably well. They got the ball within striking distance with a minute left, or just under a minute, and you think, holy hell, here we go again. I'm off to Sundays for a milkshake. And what happens? You got DeForest Buckner poking it loose. You got Dia Odengbo landing on it, you know, corralling it. Colts, they get the win. Get Julie a milkshake, too. I did that yesterday. Got her a delicious chocolate sundae.
Nice.
And got myself a milkshake yesterday. I rarely drink milkshakes on back-to-back days. I got a milkshake because the Hoosiers were horrible yesterday. Horrible. Indiana is awful. And before people start yelling about how Nick Sheridan ought to be fired as the offensive coordinator, which people are, Don Coryell couldn't have gotten the Indiana offense yesterday to move the football. You had no running game. You had walk-ons at running back. Yet nothing against walk-ons. I love walk-ons. You had a third-string quarterback who got hurt. The second-string guy comes in, throws interceptions. And then you've got the walk-on from Noblesville who comes in at quarterback. What are you going to do? What is Nick Sheridan going to dial up that's going to allow Indiana to score offensive points? It's inconceivable. So anyway, Colts, they get the win. Hoosiers, they got the loss. Indiana basketball is back, baby. You know, for a couple of years, it was sort of a football school for a minute. And I kept having to check my driver's license to see where I lived. This year, it's all back the way it's supposed to be. Indiana football sucks. Indiana basketball is 2-0, and they got the game Wednesday night against St. John's. Let's go. All right, and how about the Pacers last night? Not to go kind of deviate from the theme of the show, but the Pacers last night against the 76ers were fun. How about T.J. McConnell going bucket crazy toward the end of the game and putting it away for the Pacers against the 76ers? Very, very nice stuff. I did not go to Bloomington Saturday. Julie got her booster and is just a little bit under the weather, but she's all right. She's popping Advil and Tylenol like her liver can process just any damn thing that it wants to. And she's gone all candy. She's eating them like candy corn on Halloween is what she's doing. Pretty much.
No.
We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Breakfast with Kent. Cannot wait to talk to you then. We'll talk about everything. Colts, back to even money at 5-5, and that was the goal when they were 1-4, right? Everybody says hang in there, Julie.
Thank you.
She'll do it. Yes, strong go. The MIT guys are saying, I'm so happy that Frank Reich didn't have an opportunity to listen to those guys, those big-brained morons who know how to work a slide rule but don't know what football is, for God's sake. Oh, it's a 58% go, coach. Wait, 58.3. Hey, what are we doing? Anyway, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Breakfast with Kent, bright and early as always. It's what we do.